Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I am joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Wakanda forever.
Wakanda forever indeed. And rounding out the group today, we have the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
What's up, dudes?
Give me a bark. It's been a while. Thank you very much, Kevin. It's good to have you here as well. Another rare appearance of Kevin on the set. Usually running stuff. We have Barrett behind the ones and twos right now. Of course, killing the game. I'm hoping everybody's having a fantastic day out there. What a day.
What a day.
We got Wakanda Forever, reviews dropping, the movie.
Sonic the Hedgehog is out also.
Sonic Frontiers
is out. Sonic Frontiers.
God of War Ragnarok's coming out.
Also, go vote. Go vote if you haven't.
So much is happening right now. Fantastic stuff, and I'm happy that we get to take part in all of it with you out there. And we get to do that each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindoffunny, where we do this show where we talk about the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. If there is something in pop culture that we should be talking about, chances are we are going to do just that. And you can watch it as a video, but if podcasts are more your thing, search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Screencast, and we will be right there for you, including a whole bunch of really cool stuff coming up tonight. The new episode of Andor premieres. I'm extremely excited for it. So Barrett, me, Carboni, and I'm pretty sure the return of Sage Ryan will be talking about Andor tomorrow
and
Tales of the Jedi.
Oh,
we're doing a little double feature thing there, so that should be a lot of fun. So your homework for tonight, catch up on Andor and watch Tales of the Jedi. They're 6 15-minute or less shorts. Watch them. Hang out with us. Have a good, fantastic time. Of course, today we're brought to you by Factor, MeUndies, and Shady Rays, but I'll tell you about that later. First, I want to tell you about all of our amazing Patreon producers. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like these people did, to get the show ad-free. I'm going to give a shout-out to Casey Andrew, Elliot, Brian Cheney, Casey Kern, G. Greg, Trevor Starkey, Adam, Jacob Mulfelt, Super Daddy Kyle, who always makes me smile, Undertopian, David Mintel,
Mind Freak,
Jordan from Kansas, Cameron Bowes, Jay Klobes, David Huzenga, Jerica Chu, Molecule, Nathan Lamoth, Monica, Boominlog, and Delaney Twining. We'll talk about the rest later because I want to get right into it. We got to see an early screener. Shout out to Dolby Labs for having us. Go watch Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, the final MCU Phase 4 film.
Wow.
The second to last Phase 4 project, because technically we do still have the Guardians holiday special coming in just a few short weeks. So that's really exciting. But that's so
far
away. Wait,
quick question. So Quantumania, is that the first phase?
Beginning of Phase 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been exciting to get in.
Wow.
Really
interesting. Holy cow.
I'm sure we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come and when we're talking a little bit more spoiler-filled. Because right now, we're staying spoiler-free. Of course, we don't want to ruin this experience for anybody. We know that Marvel Studios is very near and dear to so many people's hearts. So we're going to try our best to not spoil a single thing. We're going to talk about stuff that we've seen in the trailers. So like that is kind of the extent that we're trying to stay around. If you do not want to be spoiled at all, don't watch this at all. Like, that's just putting that out there. We're going to try our best, but you know you better than we know you. We're not trying to ruin this for anybody. So that is the goal that we're going to have. Know that going into this review, as always. Having said all of that, Blessing.
Tim.
What did you think of Black Panther, Wakanda Forever? I want to know what score you would give it on the Kinda Funny scale of 1 to 5 and just what your thoughts are.
In terms of score, I think I would give it a 4 out of 5. But in terms of just the conversation of what this movie is and talking about how good it is. This is a movie, I think this is one of the few times where I would describe a Marvel movie as beautiful, right? Just in terms of the way they tackle the subject matter, and even in terms of how it was filmed, the visuals, how it looks moment to moment. I think it is just a beautiful looking film, but also in terms of the way that they had so much to live up to, talking about Black Panther, the first one, and how revered that movie is. And then also talking about, you know, the passing of Chadwick Boseman and how that affected this movie. And this movie working as both, I would say, a grieving process for the filmmakers and the actors and the people working on the film themselves, but then also for the audience. I think this film having to pull that off while also ushering in the next chapter of what Black Panther is. that is a lot on its shoulders to live up to. And for me, I think it lived up to that supremely. Like, there are multiple times during this movie where I legitimately was shedding tears, right? I'm sitting next to Greg, and I'm sitting in front of, I think you guys were in the row behind me. I'm like trying to wipe my tears without people noticing.
Everyone's
right?
Crying. It's
yeah,
all good.
Yeah. Like, man, that stuff was getting to me, dude. And yeah, like, I think they do such a good job of tackling ideas of grief and how you react to grief and how you deal with grief in this movie, coming off of that, and then also just coming off of the what's going on in the world of the MCU and the world of Wakanda and Black Panther specifically. I think they did such a phenomenal job working on that. The score was incredible. Shout out to Ludwig Göransson, who did the score for the previous Black Panther movie. Once again, absolutely nailed it. And you know, I had the fear, and I was talking about this with Snowbike Mike yesterday, that like the first Black Panther movie had Kendrick Lamar working on a lot of the songs, right, doing the accompany to album, but then a lot of those songs appearing in the film itself. And this movie not having that had me give me a little tinge of like, oh man, but is it going to be as good as the first one? And I would say, in terms of how the movie used the music and the music that was in there itself, I would say for sure, like, and for me it goes toe to toe with the music and wow. The soundtrack. Yeah, that was in the first one. I absolutely love that. The performances, oh my god, Angela Bassett in this movie, maybe one of my favorite MCU performances, just period. Like, she brought the stuff. She brought the range. Yeah. There's stuff that they do in terms of, like, even the style of her character, the clothing that she's wearing, her hairstyles, that she brought to the table, where I'm like, god damn, is this character so good. And so shout out to Angela Bassett in this movie. Absolutely loved her. Letitia Wright, I think, did a really good job as well. And then also Tanaka Huerta as Namor, I thought was off the chain as a villain. Absolutely loved his performance. And also just the riding around his character as well. I think this movie has so much to love. I have a few nitpicks with it. You know, like Riri Williams, there's things in terms of her arc that I wish was better explored. Her character, I would compare to how they treated America Chavez in Doctor Strange, which I wasn't the biggest fan of how they treated America Chavez in that movie. Riri Williams, for me, reflects that a little bit in some different ways, but then also in some similar ways. And I would have loved to see that character explored and developed a little bit more. And then also just the things here and there in terms of like action sequences. Like, overall, love the action, but in terms of ways in which certain sequences were shot, it was a lot of cutting back and forth that I would have loved to see reduced a little bit. But even overall, even in terms of action, I would say I like the action in this movie overall better than in the first movie as well. And so, yeah, 4 out of 5 is the score that I'm giving it. But with that, it's a movie that I absolutely love.
Kevin.
I think for most things, I'm right there with Bless. I think that visually, it's beautiful.
So, first off, what would you give it out of 5?
Oh, sorry. I think I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5.
5?
Yeah. Wow. I really, really like this movie. It's long, but the entire time, I'm fully enveloped in everything that's going on. I think they do a really good job handling the storylines that they're developing. We are with characters for a long time and see how they're dealing with emotions in a way that, like, the casting for this, like, it's interesting where in Black Panther, the first one, I didn't realize the casting was so strong. I think that we got a lot more time to feel people's emotions and kind of see them emote so much and much harder. I mean, obviously, this is a, you know, like, we understand what's going on, but, like, we really got time. Like you said, Angela Bassett was, like, without a doubt, one of the best performances of that we've seen in the MCU, I think.
Oh, 100%. Easy. Yeah.
And, like, it's not just one moment. Like, there's several moments where characters, like, I literally was like, wow. Like, I'm really happy they went with the story the way they did so that we could have these moments with these characters. Like, so many of, like, the acting, like, things were so good. Namor. God, now I'm having trouble.
They say Namor? Different ways in the movie itself. Yeah. So you can say Namor or you can say Namor, I guess.
Namor, like, he's kills it in the role. And I love the way he moves, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
A lot of aspects that we get in the movie, like, it feels like people really had a lot of fun with, like, his mobility with his little winged feet, and it's just, I'm really impressed by almost everything in this movie. There are some things cinematically where I'm like, it's interesting that, like, they decided to do that, like, the ultra pulled focus where everything around the character is blurred. We see a couple moments where people are having conversations and they're like, it's a little bit
It's that volume stuff that we talk about.
It feels a little weird. Is that volume stuff?
It's either volume or green screen. Like
I think that like that's just the thing where they have the ultra shallow focus and it's set just right on their face, so even their bodies are a little out of focus. They also did some cool things with like tilt shift. There was like a couple, I think there might have been like two shots where they're showing cityscapes and it's just a little bit of that tilt shift where everything kind of looks like it's a toy, which I think looks visually always so cool. And with the sets that we get to see, like you're maxing out that potential like of like, oh yeah, it's a city, but like it's a cool ass looking city. I'm blown away. I was concerned about how much I would enjoy this movie, but I think that, like, right, like as it ended, I was like, wow, they handled everything beautifully, and I'm blown away. Like, this is definitely, for Phase 4, it's easy to say it's one of my top movies of this phase, if not the number one, yeah.
Yeah, this is a special film for sure, and I think beautiful is a word that keeps coming up, and I feel like it's beautiful for its substance, but also the way that it's shot, and like I feel like the way that those things are married is it's such a love letter to Chadwick, like from beginning to end, and like Bless was saying, it's like it you can feel the catharsis for us as an audience, for the people that were making it. You could see the love that went into every single choice. And I my score, I'd give it a 4 out of 5. I'm a bit on the lower side of it, I would say. And I think that a lot of that has to do with, I think this is far from Ryan Coogler's best film. I'm a big Ryan Coogler fan, and knowing what he's capable of and the types of stories he can tell of marrying the style and substance into something. This is one that I'm like, all right, you didn't quite fully pull it off in some ways. And I think that that is still kind of that the Phase 4 situation that we're in right now of the rebuilding process of the MCU, because while this had to be a story that was, you know, a tribute to Chadwick, it also had to kind of set the new stage for Wakanda itself and then also the MCU as a whole. And I don't know that all of those elements played well with each other the entire time. I think overall it ended in a place that just does go on the higher side, definitely, of the Phase 4 movies. I wouldn't say it is the highest, though. I still think Shang-Chi is up there for me personally. Mm-hmm. But not perfect, but
Quick question. Is Spider-Man, is that also?
Oh, and that too. Yeah.
Spider-Man's the one that makes it tricky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think that this is a demonstrable step up from Eternals or Black Widow.
For sure.
Yeah. So with that, though, it's like the performances are fantastic. The action scene is a little hit or miss. I feel like there was no action scene that I can say I completely loved, but every action scene had a moment I loved, at least a moment. Many of them had multiple moments of like, oh, wow, that is such a cool use of that weapon or that ability or that move or this person or this armor, this whatever the hell it is, right? And I think the most impressive thing is the cast of this film, like the way that the cast is used in as an ensemble while also maintaining clear focus on leads. Mm-hmm. And I was very impressed with the leads. I was pleasantly surprised with the capabilities of some of the actresses' ability to go from what we knew them as a character to becoming what they are and using the grief both in character and in the real world to kind of create that moment and seeing new forms of kind of camaraderie and dealing with grief, where in the MCU, which we just saw in WandaVision, you know, to kind of head out or to start off Phase 4 and now to essentially end Phase 4 with a similar theme in a very, 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 very different way handled as well as this is. I can't wait to watch this movie again. And while I don't think all the elements fit together, I do think that we're in this special moment that we're going to look back on with Phase 4 of the experimental or the movie by need and necessity, where there was a pandemic, Chadwick died. Like, these are things that they need to deal with. And I don't think that they always deal with it well, but I think that in the future, we're going to look back at all of these for being a special moment in time that did something and kind of similar to how we talk about Dark World and Age of Ultron getting better over time because of the movies after. I think that this is a movie that is going to be looked back on in some ways much more positively in the future, and I think a little more critically in the future as well.
Yeah.
But
I think the critical aspect for sure, right? Like, I think this movie does just a lot of things where it's like, oh, this isn't just a good MCU movie. This is just a great movie in general. And I think a lot of that are in the moments where it separates itself from the MCU and just focuses on the characters of Wakanda and what's going on with Namor's crew as well. Like, I think the best parts of this movie are the parts where they focus in on that. There is a B, C plot in the movie that I would have just either cut or had developed
borderline
better.
Bad.
Yeah, and where it's like, dude, this is... Anytime they cut to that plot, I'm like, this is... I don't care about this at all. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think it would have been easy to get rid of this. And, like, the only reason that it feels like it's there is to connect back to the MCU. And, again, I think that is the moment where I'm like, oh, man, now the MCU-ness of this movie is kind of getting in the way of this actually great individual story itself. And so that's part of why, like, that's part of what brings it back down to a 4 out of 5 for me. But I do want to hop off of you talking about the action as well, right? And how,
but before,
like,
you do that, though, because I want to get into all the action stuff, but I do want to take a word from our sponsors. But before we do that, remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to get the show ad free, just like some more of our Patreon producers: Ryan Anderson, Kenny Kimball, Eric Velasquez, Ivan Quiz, Scotty Wyatt, Alex Gradle, Mama Mer, Al Tribesman, Jacob Meyer, Steven Stryker, Gordon McGuire, Burt Meg, Jason L., James Davis Makes, Nanobiologist, Arrow Joe, DJ Kento, Ryan T. from Tennessee, Derek Gehrig, Donald Eccles, Short Fuse 06, Jordan Harrison, and Sean Valoric have done. But for everyone else, here's some ads. Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Shady Rays has all the essentials you need to make summer complete. Shady Rays sunglasses offer an industry-best combination of fit, style, and performance without the big brand price tag. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection program in all of eyewear. Every pair is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they will send you a brand new pair. They also provide 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order and have donated over 20 million meals to date. Look good in your shades and feel good by making an impact. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There is no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Exclusively for y'all listening right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDOFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people. And there you go. Check it out. Shout out to Factor, a ready-to-eat meal delivery. They shop, prep, cook, and deliver to your door so you can just enjoy chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals during the holidays, minus the hassle. Plus, with 34 meals per week, including Gourmet Plus, Keto, Calorie, Smart, Vegan Plus Veggie, and 36+ weekly add-ons, you'll have plenty of nutritious, flavorful options to choose from. Moving into the new studio has totally changed Gia and I's day-to-day routine, but luckily, Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals make it easy for her to fuel up fast at home and save time with meals delivered ready to heat and eat in just 2 minutes. Factor has everything you need for a week of flavorful, nutritious eats. In addition to ready-to-eat meals, they have cold-pressed juices, smoothies, energy bites, extra protein, veggie sides, and more. Head to go.factor75.com/kindoffunny60 and use code kindoffunny60 to get 60% off your first box. That's code kindoffunny60 at go.factor75.com/kindoffunny60 to get 60% off your first box. And shout out to MeUndies. The holidays are officially upon us, and it's time to start celebrating, like actually celebrating. It's your holiday too, so you should be able to relax and do what you love. If that means watching every single seasonally themed rom-com, so be it. Live your life, do your thing. It's the most wonderful time of the year to try MeUndies because they're currently offering a very merry deal. You can get 20% off your first purchase with free standard shipping and free returns when you go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Y'all already know how much I love MeUndies. Even right now, I'm wearing MeUndies socks, I'm wearing MeUndies undies, and this very t-shirt is made of the same soft, beautifully soft micromodal fabric that MeUndies is famous for. Their undies, loungewear, and sleepwear are made out of the softest, most supple fabric you have ever felt, and that is a fact. They're available in sizes extra small all the way up through 4XL. MeUndies has what you need to make all your favorite people smile this holiday season, all in one convenient place. Feel free to start thinking about yourself now. You can get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee by going to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. So Bless, mm-hmm. you wanted to talk about action scenes.
Yes, because I think in terms of you talking about how like there wasn't really one action scene that like stuck out as like, oh, this is the one. I agree with you there, but I do like how they visually characterized some of what was going on in the action that for me separated it from previous Black Panther and also just MCU stuff in general, where I think what Namor and his crew brought to the table and how that made the action feel so different in this film, just in terms of what they're doing visual effects wise, I really like that stuff. That said, there's also stuff on the other hand in terms of like costume that I'm like, oh man, I wish that stuff felt like it melded more. Like I think it might be the CGI-ness of some of what was going on with that stuff that didn't fly as much for me. But I did like a lot of how the overall action was depicted in terms of like what CGI brought to the table and what Namor's crew specifically brought to the table.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't say this at the top, but I think that Black Panther 1 is better than this overall. Mm. And I think especially it's like the little things that add up to it. And I think action scenes, having just rewatched Black Panther 1, there's so many action scenes that I'm like, these are actually really, really well done. Like the whole Korea section is fantastic. Mm. And I don't think this movie has any of that type of thing, where, again, it's the style of the camera meets the substance of the choreography and the fight and the action and all that stuff. But there is, and then Shang-Chi has like so much incredible
choreography.
The choreography of the and camera work of like the bus fight, right? Or like even the scaffolding fight. Like there's just so much attention to the action itself. There is one brief moment in this during one of the final battles that I do think that we get a Shang-Chi-esque action scene that is fucking awesome, and then they only stay on it for like 15 seconds and then they go back to other stuff, and I was like, damn it, like they have the stuff, like Coogler has the eye for this action. It's just you either get it or you don't, and I feel like unfortunately for this one, more often than not, I felt teased as opposed to satiated.
Yeah, I think for me those there are plenty of times where the non-action sequences felt even more visually stunning than the actual action sequences
almost
themselves.
Almost 10 out of 10 times, honestly.
Yeah. Like, even things they're doing in terms of lighting, where you go from somewhere bright to then somewhere really dark, but it's just dark enough to where it's not like I'm like, oh, I can't see shit, but it is, like, dark enough to where I'm like, the whole vibe is different now, just for this scene.
I think that this might be the best use of dark lighting that I've ever seen in a movie. Like, it's like such a choice where you could still see everything you're supposed to see. It sets the tone though, and like there's just a in the same way that we've seen now countless times Guardians defined what cosmic looks like, Wakanda or Black Panther defined Wakanda, we see things in this movie that I feel define a group and an area, like that feels so inherently unique, and I think a lot of it has to do with the lighting that they chose.
I do think that we saw this movie in arguably one of the best ways to see it.
For sure.
You know? I disagree so much.
Really?
What? I fucking hate this theater, man.
You know, like, no. So I don't like the theater itself because of its rules. The screen, like the projector, I think is amazing.
Oh, the black levels are horrible.
Are you joking?
They're so bad. Dude, whatever.
What's the one that we usually go to that's like, you think you see black? This is black.
Yeah, that's the other Dolby.
That's the Dolby Atmos theater.
Yeah.
The one we went to is different?
Yeah, it's so this is like the lab.
It's okay. The same tech, but it's like they're using different cameras and stuff. And the one at Metreon's way nicer.
Okay.
But
I mean, I liked it. But this is my first time at this theater. And like,
you didn't think that they do an intro at all Dolby theaters, but like at the lab they do an extended intro.
I like this intro.
It's the first time I've seen the extended intro.
That was the first time where I was like, "Oh, these blacks are blacker."
Yeah, where it does the thing that it's got a circle in the middle and everything around it goes darker and then opens up wider. I thought that was a really cool way to do it, and I am a little concerned at what other movie theaters are gonna look like.
Did you not like the sound at this theater?
No, the sound was great.
Okay, because I love the sound. Those are the moments where I jump scared.
You don't think
the
sound's great?
I mean, guys, look. I care about this stuff, and I'm super picky. You said this is your first time seeing that intro. No.
Oh, that intro.
I've seen that intro 100 times. Like, that's my thing.
Better, like at home.
Home or other places. But, I mean, even at home, it looks way better. because but that's OLED. That's yeah. I understand. Absolutely. A different situation. But when they're showing this, like, you think this is black? I'm like, no, I don't.
Okay, that's fair.
But
that's fair,
then,
that's
when
fair.
It comes to the sound, it's like the Dolby Atmetrion, there's way more speakers than there are in this one. There's the rumble in the seats, there's all that stuff. It's like, guys, come on.
The rumble in the seats come is on. Something.
The Dolby Lab, it's fine. It's fine.
Wow.
Dolby Atmos Metreon, let's go, Dolby. Best theater in the city.
Damn. I think it's just Dolby Theater at Metreon. I don't think it has Atmos, right? In the name.
It's Atmos, yeah.
Really?
Well, it's Dolby, it's Atmos, it's Vision.
No, yeah, I mean, it is all those things, but that is the Dolby Theater at Metreon, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, but regardless, we're getting
so
ready.
So people go and look for it, because Dolby Theater is the greatest theater experience there is, except for when they slap 3D and they do active lenses, and it's terrible. Remember? Oh, my God, Avatar. We watched the trailer for Avatar 2 with active lenses, and they are horrible.
God. I want to bring it back to the movie. I want to talk about some of the just the thematic elements of the story, because for me, it goes back to the first Black Panther, where watching the original Black Panther and how they tackle Killmonger's story and how they tackle, like, making you so sympathetic to his character, and then it kind of goes off the deep end where I'm like, oh, I don't know if you need to go that far, but still, I fucking love Killmonger and the direction they took that character. There are moments thematically in this movie that I think piggybacks off of a lot of those elements in ways where I'm like, man, I think the themes that are present in both these Black Panther movies are some of the best themes in the MCU, just in terms of, one, how mature they are, but then also how they make you identify with the quote-unquote villain role, right? Where it is, it reminds me of, I guess, to bring in a gaming reference, right? The new Face video games on Kind of Funny. The Last is Part 2, right? Where you play through that game and there's a moment where you're like, oh, okay, they're doing the both sides thing of, like, you hated this character before, but we're going to make you really identify or really, really feel for this character. I think they do such a good job of giving reason for, like, okay, no, I understand why this villain is doing this. This makes complete sense, and even to some extent, I could see myself maybe falling on the side of this character in certain scenarios. And I really dug how they fleshed out Namor and his whole crew in the movie. I think they did a great job with that.
I think that, like, the reasons that, like, that are brought up that we won't spoil here, like, I think they're a little light. I think that they could have done a better job explaining stuff and, like, making us make, like, I think that he's less sympathetic than Killmonger was.
Interesting.
I don't know. I agree with that.
Yeah.
just in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, like Killmonger has some bad moments clearly, and his plan was very bad as well. But I kind of feel like we had more time with Killmonger. Yeah.
I think the real world backdrop to Killmonger and the fact that, like, you know, Killmonger is rooted in reality for a lot of his character, where you can connect the dots way easier as opposed to, like, Namor and, like, the kingdom that lives in the sea. But even then, like, we can't get into it. But there are elements of his character in his story that feel also rooted in real world, and the way that the character and the way that they display that, for me, went far enough to where I was like, oh man, okay, I really identify with where this guy is coming from.
I think it's a really great foundation. I'm excited to see where they go in the future, because I think that will really define for me retroactively how good a job I think they actually did with this. Because I feel like Wakanda being set up in Black Panther and Civil War teased just a bit, getting it in Black Panther and then seeing it progress, especially further, in Infinity War, specifically Infinity War, that grounded it as, like, oh my God, like, Wakanda is one of, if not the most important location to the MCU. It's like, of course, New York is huge, right? But it's like, Wakanda feels like...
it's the safest place on Earth.
There's, like,
right?
Exactly. You know? There's so much that goes into it. And I feel like right now, I left Black Panther 1 being like, I love this world. I love these characters. I'm interested to see them more. Here I'm like, I'm interested to see a character again. I don't know that I care about other characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you guys agree with that?
No, I mean, I personally, I'm like, yo, I hope we get a lot more of any part of this world, like, worlds, you know? Like, I feel like they did such a good job setting up characters to continue stories further down, where I'm like, cool, they have maybe, like, three different avenues that they can take that I'd be totally 100% like, I'm definitely watching that episode one, you know?
Yeah.
Midnight.
Yeah, like, I kind of understand where you're coming from, right? But I'm also like, you know, in the world of Wakanda, I'm excited to see more of, right? Like, if I want to see a feature out of the characters as an ensemble. But I definitely understand what you're talking about in terms of, like, there are a few individual characters that I think shine individually in a way that will carry forward in individual projects where I'm like, yeah, let's see this person.
Sorry, like, just be clear. I'm talking about outside of Wakanda.
Okay.
I'm talking about from like the new shit that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like there's like a supporting cast of characters that I'm interested in.
Yeah, but like, see, that's I kind of appreciate that, where like we got one character that we're like is the main character in that group. And like that's what I wanted. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like giving it that focus, because like it's a Black Panther movie. It's not, you know.
Yeah.
Like it, yeah.
We're talking in code now. So this would be like MCU in review talk probably on.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's definitely a lot to talk about. Like, I do think, speaking of characters, though, I think that overall it's a hit. But I do think there's a couple misses in terms of how many characters are in this movie, how many characters are missing from this movie, how many characters get focused in this way but not enough in that way. Like, there is a lot. And I think for the most part, the ones they focus on the most, for the most part, are the right ones and very well done. There's a couple that are like, get them off the screen. What are we doing right now? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a waste entirely for what the story we're trying to tell.
I think this is probably connected to what Blessing was saying.
Somewhat, but even then, I feel like there's even some other ones. But there's also some characters that are just missing from this movie that I'm like, they're only not in this due to, like, behind-the-scenes reasons, I'm sure, like scheduling or whatever. And it kind of creates a weird, like, issue. But that's somebody knowing too much about this stuff. Mm. There's a couple of characters in this that I'm like, they're only in this because someone else couldn't be.
Yeah.
You know? And that doesn't ever feel great.
I think that the most exciting part of this movie is that, like, I came out of it very excited to talk to people about it. And I feel like it's been a little while since I felt that with the MCU, where, like, I'm actually, like, stoked to, like, talk about areas and talk about characters and be like, what'd you think? You know, like, where I just feel like MCU movies, I've been lacking that a little bit. And with this, like, I kind of want to go out and be like, what do you think about this moment or that moment in the movie? Mm-hmm. See your reaction to it. What did you get out of it, you know? And, like, to me, that's a great spot for a movie to be in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The one thing I want to shout out as well, which is, like, a little bit of a nitpick, but the British accents came out of both Letitia Wright and Martin Freeman at points, where I was, like, always a little bit distracting. Like, Martin Freeman, I love his character, and, like, I loved him in Black Panther 1 as well, but and I think maybe it's part of, I've just heard his British accent so much that when he speaks in an American accent, I'm like, man, this ain't you. This ain't you. Like, I don't know. That jumped out at me. And then Letitia Wright as well. There was, like, moments in I'm split on it, because there are moments of passion where it is okay, her character is like trying to like go for it right now, but then I heard the British accent and that took me out of it. I had a couple of those moments where I was like, oh man, I wish that wasn't the case. But again, overall though, performances out of characters, I think, nailed it. And I'm gonna keep going back to Angela Bassett, who I think, again, like, gave one of the best performances probably like of the year, right? Like, I hope she gets nominations for this, because I fucking loved her character so much.
Mm-hmm. I also think Letitia Wright, like, did an excellent job. Like, she was very, she has several moments where I was like, damn, this character is like in this moment, like, this is what she's feeling, and I really, it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I want to make sure I'm very careful about how I say this, so I'm going to talk about the group overall, because I think it applies to all of them. I feel like the way that we knew these characters from the last couple of movies or whatever appearances that, or even shows in some cases, like we had some appearances from people, the way that the character we knew was still authentic, but dealing with the loss in world changed how they were, where somebody that we might have known as being more lighthearted, not being lighthearted at all.
Yeah.
And seeing that pain kind of shown, turned into power, I thought was like incredibly impressive from a couple of the characters that we'll talk about in an interview when we go full spoilers.
Yeah. Mm. I will say there are some things around Shuri's arc in particular that I would have loved to see developed slightly differently. Like, there are certain choices in writing with her character and in certain choices made with her character where I'm like, oh man, like in any moment I was either like, oh man, they're going a bit too hard driving home this point, or they're lingering too long on certain character moments for her character that I feel like could have been progressed a bit further in more interesting ways, right? Like, there's moments even with her character arc toward the end of the movie where I was like, all right, like, we know where this is gonna go. This feels predictable in a way for her character, and I would have liked to see it tackle a little bit more creatively, I guess, even in the build-up to where her character goes in the movie.
I think we're getting a little bit dangerous territory. Of course, yeah. Like, I know what you're talking about, but I felt like all of it was earned. like the build up to decisions being made and mm-hmm. how we see kind of in their mind how they're making choices. Like, I thought all of that seemed like real and valid and kind of like, yeah, what we expected, but like it made sense and felt fulfilling.
Yeah.
To see these characters make these choices.
Yeah, it's it's interesting because like this movie makes so many choices that I wouldn't make, that I don't want them to make and all this stuff. But they did them so well that I'm like, I'm with you. Like, you're telling the story you want, and I am here for it, and you're telling a great story. Definitely have a lot of things that, even having said that, that I wish that they changed. Some things I really wish they went further with. Some things, yeah, I wish they just said. Like, it's, we'll see. We'll talk about all this later. But to wrap this out, any final non-spoiler thoughts about Wakanda Forever?
It's just wild that they made Martin Freeman the new Black Panther.
I mean, hey, no, I said bless, no spoiler.
Oh, what? No spoiler. I thought after the ad was, wow, spoiler. Oh, my bad.
Wow.
Damn.
Jesus. Kev?
I think that, like, I hope we get more acting, like, and story to this level in the MCU, because, like, that's the kind of stuff that really keeps me, like, excited to come back and see how things are being built. And so, like, keep it going, because that, like, this is really good.
Amen. Thank you guys for joining us. Let us know in the comments below how excited you are for Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Remember, we will be adding it to MCU in review for Patreon users. We'll be doing that on this Friday. We'll be doing it live, and then it'll go live for everyone else publicly on next Monday. But speaking of Patreon, final round of producers that I want to shout out: Morgan Lorraine, Fargo Brady, Hillary Bernard, Ivy Raven, Starkzilla, Delaney Twining, Christopher Rodriguez, The Kind of Funny Destiny 2 PC Clan, Corey Turnip Seed, Tall Tree 81, Trent Berry, Joseph A. Carlson, Tranquil Uranium, Macro, One Up Pest Control, Alex J. Sandoval, James Hastings, Colin Huguenel, Carrie Palmer, and Skylar Peterson. Thank you all so very, very much for joining us. Remember, Andor tomorrow for Screencast, Tales of the Jedi. We're popping off. So much cool shit going on. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.